All right, we're on Nun Aleph today. I'll begin two lines from the bottom on Nun Amud Beis. 50b, two lines from the bottom. Okay, so the Gemara is in the middle of the discussion. There was a new parak that you all began yesterday, Makom Shenagu, and it talks about in some places the minhag is not to do malacha on Erev Pesach before Chatzot. Some places the minhag is to do malacha. And then the Mishnah spoke about if you go from one Makom to another Makom, we'll come to that later. But let's go two lines from the bottom. So Bnei Chozai, Nagi de Mefarshi Chala Me Aruza. So the people in Chozaa, they would take Chala Me Aruza from like a rice spread. So rice bread, we know, if you remember earlier in the Masechta, we learned it was Machloket Tanoim. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan and Nuri held that rice was a min dagan, that rice was a type of bread, and you can make matzah from it, according to Rabbi Yochanan and Nuri, and it's machmitz, and in Mustama would be schayv and challah. But this Gemara is assuming not like Rabbi Yochanan and Nuri, which is why we all assume we'll learn the way the Balei Tosfot will learn it, so that most of the people in Chozaa knew that it wasn't chayv and challah, but minority of people didn't know. But as a chumrah, they adopted upon themselves to take challah from the rice bread. So he says, Atu ba'amru le'd Rav Yosef. So people came and they said to Rav Yosef, look what's going on in Chozaa. They're taking challah from the rice bread. So amr luhu neich lezar ba'apayhu. So he says, let a non-kohen eat the ostensible challah in their presence. In other words, I'm going to be mevatel this minhag, in essence. In other words, through that action, the minhag will be off and nobody will do it anymore. They'll see that the challah is not challah. So Abaye posed the question to Rav Yosef, and Abaye was a Talmud of Rav Yosef, and he asked him from the following brisa. The brisa says, Dabarim mutarim v'acherim nagum ben isur. You have some things that are permissible, but other people are accustomed to do a prohibition with it. The top line of Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. So one's not allowed to be matir the item that they took it as prohibited in their presence. In other words, so even so, people have a custom, and they've adopted this custom as a chumrah. You're not allowed to be matir the chumrah in their presence. So that's the question of why he poses to Rav Yosef. So with the top line, so Amar lo. So Rav Yosef says to Abayim, was it not said concerning this brisa that the brisa was stated only concerning the kutai, the kutim, and if we've had this before, but just to repeat, the kutim were non-Jews that the king of Ashur planted in northern part of Eretz Israel after he conquered Eretz Israel, and then they adopted Judaism, and there's a question what type of gerus they had, but suffice to say, their observance was not so great. Their observance wasn't so good. So among the kutai, you shouldn't, if they've adopted a chumrah, shouldn't be matirid in their presence, because then they'll come to adopt other laxities. But that's only talking about the kutai. So I wasn't dealing with the kutai, so I have no problems. So the Gemara says, kutai ma'itaima, what's the reason for the kutai, why you shouldn't be matir the chumrah in their presence? He says, "Mishum de misarachi milta," because they'll come to, you know, be medame milta le milta. They'll say, "Oh, this is permissible, that's permissible," and then they'll engage in an actual isur. So hadachinshi nami sarachi milta. But the question is, but the people in Chuzai, they'll also end up violating halacha. So the Gemara says, "Elam Ravashi." So Ravashi. So if that's the case, how is it that Rav Yosef, you know, directed that somebody should eat their ostensible challah in quotation marks in front of the Bnei Chozai? In other words, even though they're not kutoim, but lechora, the same rationale would pertain that a person shouldn't be matir chumrah that they've adopted. So Elam Ravashi Chazinan Iruban Orez Achli. If most of the people in that town, they eat this rice bread, that's their major bread item. So lo nechlu zar ba'apayu, then a non-Kohen should not eat that which they've designated as challah. He says, dilma mishtacha torah challah minayu, because they may eventually forget, you know, what's challah, what's not challah. So in other words, if that's the bread that they're eating, in essence, they're eating rice bread. That's what they're doing, eating the rice bread. So if you're going to be, you know, mevatel this minhag that they've adopted, so then they'll forget that there's a din of challah, so you shouldn't do it. The Reuben Daganachli, but if most of the people there eat the wheat bread or, you know, bread from the regular grains, nechlazar bapayu, then in hachinami, a non-Kohen could eat that challah in their presence. Why? Or should do it. Because it could have a downside. It could lead to problems. Because if most of the people eat bread, and some people eat the rice bread, and then you're mafrish challah from the rice bread as well, so you may end up either, you know, designating some of the dagon as challah for the rice bread, and that won't be a proper designation, or you'll take some of the rice bread and designate it as challah for the dagon. Let's see the Rashi on this, and then we'll do the Tosos, and then we'll pause. Okay, so look at the second wide line in Rashi. Sarachi milta kushahi upstairs. Okay, then the third line. Hamafrish mina orez ala dagon. If a person he separates rice for the grain, or the rice dough for the grain dough, ochel tavalim, he'll end up eating tevel. In other words, delo chal hashem al haorez velo nitkan hadagon. In other words, let's say I have regular dough and it's chayv and challah, and then I have like this rice dough, and I say some of this rice dough is challah for the grain dough. So I didn't do anything. So the dagon is still tevel. So it's going to lead to a problem that way. And then continuing on Rashi, the fourth white line, v'mafrish min hadagon al orez. Conversely, let's say I separate some of the grain dough for the orez, for the rice dough, ma'achil tevel a kohen. So I'm going to give, it'll be grain, but I'll be giving tevel to the kohen. In other words, he says, she'ein hashem chal al hadagon b'shvil ha'orez. I say, this is challah for that, but it's not challah, it's nothing. So it remains tevel. So it's going to lead to problems. Okay, let me just let somebody in 1 minute. All right, now let me just do a little bit in Tosfos, and then I'll pause and we'll take some questions. I'll summarize, then we'll take the point. Okay, so the first Tosfos on an Aleph Amid Aleph, Iyata Rashi Latiram Bifnehem. So Abayi quoted the Braisa that if people have adopted a chumrah, you shouldn't be matir b'fneihem. So Tema we know is Tosfos' strongest question, right? Fernia got it. So Imkain,
based on Svara.
Not necessarily based on Svara.
It's Tamiya, right? No.
No. Tema is just a strong question.
Right.
Okay. So Tema, I think maybe you're thinking of Atkafta, Matkif in the Gemara.
Okay.
So the Gemara says Tema. Imkeneyachi to Rebbe Beit Shan beperikam of the Hulin. So in the first perik in Hulin, there's a question whether Beit Shan is Chayev in Masrod. Beit Shan up in the Galil. So, in other words, only where the Olei Bavel came got the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Even though Beit Shan is in the area, you know, that was Eretz Yisrael, but when during the time of the Bayit Sheni, only where the people came that had the Kedusha. So the people over there, they were taking Masrot, and Rebbe came, and he ate food without Masrot. So if you're not allowed to be Matir, how did Rebbe do that? But here's Rabbeinu Nissim ben Megillat Starim. So the Ran, Megillat Starim is a generic word and a specific thing. So in the Gemara explains that the Chachamim would keep notebooks and where they would write their Chidushei Torah. In other words, like you weren't allowed to write Torah Shebal Peh, but they would have a little notebook with their Chidushim, and that's called Megillat Starim. So the Ran has a Sefer, which is called Megillat Starim. So the Ran writes in Megillat Starim, the high Devarim Mutarim Vachem Naguban Isur, Dim Shein Mutarim. In other words, the case that the Bryce is talking about is everybody knows that it's mutar, it's permissible. They wrote some lahachmir latzman, but they just want to be machmir on themselves. That's what the Bryce is speaking about. And but he said, in other words, in Rebbe's case, the people didn't know it was mutar; they thought it was asur. So Rebbe's undoing, which they're erroneously thinking is asur. V'chein mashma lishna devarim hamutarim. That sounds that way from language. Devarim hamutarim means that everybody knows it's mutar. Aval devarim shnogim machma taud shesavurim shu asur v'hu mutar. If people think it's actually prohibited, but it's really permissible, he says yechol lahatir b'fnehem. Now let me just do a few more lines. Okay. Vim Tomar Imkenamaika Amar Dilma Atila Frushena Midaptur Lakhiv came in the Adi Shupatur. So if that's the case, if everybody really knows that the rice bread is not chayv and challah, So why did the Gemara end up saying that I'm concerned that they'll take from the Patur, from the Chiv, and the Chiv of the Patur? He says, V'yesh lomar, lav kuli yam yada. Not everybody knew. In other words, most people knew, but some people didn't know. Okay, let's just summarize again what we did, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? Oh, let me just let somebody else in. Okay, so we started today with this B'nai Chuzai, the people of Chuzai. They would be mafrish challah from the rice bread, which is obviously not chayav in challah. And so people told Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef said, we'll have a non-Kohen eat the challah b'fneihem, and this will undo this mistaken minog. Now, most of the people in Chuzah knew that it was not chayav in challah, but they had adopted a chumrah. They had adopted a stringency in it. So Abai says, how can you do that? The Braisa says that you can't be matir a chumrah that people have adopted. So Rav Yosef said that Braisa is only talking about the kutim. And there was the kutim, they were people, they weren't, you know, so frum, so to speak, and were afraid that if you're going to be matir, the chumras, they'll end up being matir everything. Then the kutim, as we've discussed, went through different periods of time till Chazal said that you have to treat them like non-Jews. So this is talking about the period before they were like treated like non-Jews. So the Gemara says, but then the Gemara says, yeah, but what was the reason that said about the Kotai? Because they'll come to do worse. So here also they'll come to do worse. So why is he matir it? So Rav Ashi says, Rav Ashi is living after Rabbi and Rav Yosef. Rav Ashi says, the right standard is to see if most of the people eat orez, so then we shouldn't undo this chumrah. If most of the people are rice bread eaters in this locality, we shouldn't try to undo it, because otherwise they're going to forget the whole din of challah. But if most of the people are grain eaters, you know, they eat the regular bread like we would eat bread, then you should try to undo this, because it's going to lead to problems. They'll take from the patur and from the chiv, and from the chiv on the patur, they'll take from the rice for the bread or from the bread for the rice. Okay, who's got questions, comments to us, anything we did so far? Anybody? Well, nice to have everybody here tonight. It's nice.
What's the problem with separating from the patur for the chiyuv?
For the patur for the chiyuv, because then the chiyuv. In other words, you think. In other words, I'm taking the challah from the rice for the grain.
But the other way around. Sorry. The other way around. What's the problem with the other way around?
Where I'm taking for the grain for the rice. All yes, right. So I'm designating some of the grain dough. I'm saying this is challah, and it's really not challah. So it's, what is it really? It's really tevel. In other words, tevel is untithed produce. I'm saying this part I'm designating as the challah, but it's not challah. It's tevel. In other words, if it's not challah, it's tevel. So I'm saying it's challah, and then I'm giving it to the Kohen. He's eating tevel. I mean, he should be eating challah.
Okay.
All right. Okay. All right. All right. Let's go further. All right, we're around 10 lines down on an aleph and aleph. Everybody can please mute yourselves if you're unmuted, okay? So the Gemara says, Gufa, Devarim Mutarim Bachirim Naguman Isuri, Yatir Rashid Lahatir Rav Nehem. So we quoted the Braisa before, that if things are mutar, but other people are no egg astringency with it, you shouldn't be, you cannot allow it to be matir b'fneihem. And Amar Rav Chisda b'kutai askinan. He says, Rav Chisda says, this Braisa is talking about the kutim. In other words, it's limited to the kutim, because they're going to give them an inch. They'll take it like, you know, they'll take a yard. Okay. So the Gemara says, v'kuli amalo, you mean generally we wouldn't apply this klal? And now the Gemara is going to quote several incidents. Okay. So he says, v'hatani, we learn in the Braisa, rochsim shnei achim ke'echad. He says, two brothers can bathe together. It means they'll be unclothed, they'll bathe together. He says, Ein roch sin shnei achim b'kavul. In Kabul, they don't do it. So it's a concern like for like homosexual inclinations. In other words, so two brothers mean Saturday they're allowed to bathe together. But in Kabul, this place Kabul. Now, I don't know where Kabul is. I do know that in the Navi, who remembers where Kabul comes up in the Navi? Anybody remember? So remember in Sefer Malachim, remember with Shlomo Melech hires Hiram, king of Tzor, to give supplies to the Beis HaMikdash, and he gives him Eretz Kabul. Like, remember we had in the Gemara also, it's an area like in the north, like north of the Galil. So, but anyway, I don't know if this is the same Kabul. But anyway, he says in Kabul they had this stringency. Umasa,
according to the Steinsaltz,
what does he say?
Gemara, yeah. It's direct. It's in the lower Galilee, just south of Akko.
Oh, okay.
We have a map.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, let's take a look. So he says, it's a city or it's in a region?
It's cities. cities of Kabul and Berea.
Okay, but Berea. Cities plural?
That's what they call it. Cities of Kabul and Berea in the Galil.
Okay. All right. Anyway, so the Gemara says, Umasa Yehuda Hillel, Banav Shel Rabban Gamliel. There's an incident with Yehuda and Hillel, who were two brothers. They were sons of Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel is an Asi. He's head of the Sanhedrin. Shirach Sushneim Ke'echad B'Kavul. The two brothers bathed together. It means like presumably without clothes in Kavul. He says, V'laz Alehen Kol HaMedina. So the Medina can mean a city. So everybody in the city was like, you know, talking about them. And he said, Amru mi'aminu l'ra'inu kach. We never saw such conduct. What's going on? It's a whole scandal. He says, V'nishman Hillel v'yatzal beit achitzon. So Hillel, one of the brothers, left, and he went to like the outer chamber of the bathhouse to separate himself from the other brother from Yehuda. He says, V'lo ratzal lomar lahen mutarimatem. He didn't want to say, you're allowed to do this. So again, in other words, this is mi'ikar din is permissible. In Kavul, they had this chumrah, and we said the only time that you're not allowed to say it's mutar is if, like, with the kutim. And here we see that this Hillel, the son of Rabban Gamliel, didn't want to say it was mutar. He just avoided the situation. Then second situation, again, continue on with the brisa. Yotzim mikort kison b'Shabbat. On Shabbat, you're allowed to walk out with like these larger shoes. He says, "Ve'ein yotzim mikort kison b'Shabbat b'Biri." But in Biri, they would not go out. So the concern here is that the shoe may flop off, and you'll come to carry the shoe for Amod and the Rashid Rabin, right? He says, "Umasa b'Yehuda v'Hillel banav shel Rabban Gamliel." Again, with Yehuda and Hillel, the sons of Rabban Gamliel. They went out with these large shoes in Biri. And everybody's talking, ha ha ha, did you hear what happened? What's going on with this? I don't know if this is on the heels of the other incident. He says, we never saw such conduct. He says, they took the shoes off and gave it to their servants. In other words, they didn't want to say, you're allowed to do this. They took the shoes off. He says, "V'lo ratzulu marlahen mutarim atem." They didn't want to say you're allowed to do it. And the third incident, "V'yoshvin al safsali nochrim b'Shabbat," a person is permitted to sit on the safsalim of nochrim in Shabbat. It means this bench where the goyim will sell things. In other words, like benches where they would sell their wares during the week. So a Jew is allowed to sit on that bench on Shabbat, and we're not afraid that people will suspect that you're selling, engaging in merchandise on Shabbat. He says, "Ve'ein on Yoshen al Safslei Nachrim b'Shabbat ba'Akko." But in Akko, they would not do that. That was a stringency they had in Akko. He says, "Umasib Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel." Now, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, there's more than one, but I assume that some Sfarim have is Rabbi Gamliel. But I assume this is the father of Rebbe. Sheshav al Safslei Nachrim b'Shabbat ba'Akko. He sat on this bench in Akko. Everybody was like, you know, talking about him. He says, "Amru miyaminu l'ra'inu kach. We've never seen anything like this. You do here, and this rabbi, look what he's doing." So he says, "Nishmat al gabe karka v'lora salamar hamutarim atem." So he slipped down. He sat down on the ground. They didn't want to say miikar din. This is permissible. So the question is, here we said that you're allowed to tell people it's really permissible, unless they're the kutim, in which case we're afraid that the laxity will open up the doors, but otherwise you're allowed to do it. And here they didn't say anything. So we have an argument, B'day Medina Dayam Nami, but B'day Medina Dayam would be like cities by the sea, but I saw in the Masifta they had, based on Rishonim, should be B'day Medina. In other words, like the city members. In other words, these places are in Eretz Israel, so it doesn't seem like Medina Dayam, but they quoted, I think, Chidush Rabbeinu David, and I can't remember who else, but it should be B'nai Medina. So it's B'nai Medina or B'nai Medina Yam Nami came to Shchichi Rabban Gabayu. They don't have a lot of rabbis in their midst. He says Kikutim Damu. In other words, they have the same din as the Kutim. There aren't so many rabbis around there. So the laxity, if they begin to do one thing, they'll do another thing. So in Achinami, it's the same halacha. So it's not just the Kutim, it's other people who are similarly situated. Okay, now the Gemara just cleans up the brisa, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. So I understand the last case with the safsali nachrim, the benches that the goyim use, it looks like the person who's sitting is engaging in business on Shabbat. So I understand why they had the chumrah not to do it. And then these larger shoes, again, they were afraid that the shoes would drop off and people would carry it. But the first case, going in like reverse chronological order here of the incidents in the Brisa, the first case with the bathing, that they weren't allowed, the two brothers weren't allowed to bathe together. Why not? So Kidatanya, like we learn in the Brisa, Imakula Dam Rochets, a person can bathe with any other person, means of the same gender. Chutzme Avi Vachamiv, a man cannot bathe with his father, Vachamiv, or his father-in-law, Ubal Imo, or his stepfather, Ubal Achoto, his sister's husband, his brother-in-law, but in that fashion. Rabbi Yehuda Matir Ba'aviv Nei Kvod Aviv. Rabbi Yehuda, though, permits you to bathe with one's father out of kavod for the father, meaning Rashi takes it if the father needs something, so you could bathe with him. Behu Adin Lebal Imo. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi explains what these were about. If you look, the Rashi is higher than where we are. It's like midway down in the narrow lines of the Rashi, around 20 lines down from the top. Me'aviv V'chamiv, Mitoshiruehu, in other words, a person sees his father or his father-in-law, Minizkar Shemisham Yatsa, and he calls to mind that that's how he came to being, you know, like he says, Notain Libo Lahirhu. So it's like it starts his mind thinking, you know, in a certain fashion. He says, V'chein B'chamiv, and similarly with his father-in-law, Notain Libo Shetzta Ishto Mikan. He thinks this is how my, you know, my wife came into being. So it's going to arouse the hirhur with the person. So back in the Gemara, so that's why they didn't. So the back in the Gemara, he says, "Va'atu inhu v'gazru b'shnei achim mishum bal achoto." So the people in Kavul, they made a gezeira that two brothers shouldn't bathe together undressed because of. In other words, they were adding on. It was the din is Baal Achoto, you shouldn't bathe with your brother-in-law, your sister's husband, but your brother-in-law. So they extended it to two brothers. Okay, two more lines. Tana, Talmud lo yerchatzim rabo. So with Tana taught in a brisa that a Talmud shouldn't bathe with his Rebbe. Vim rabo tzarich lo mutar. But if the Rebbe needs him, you could do it. Okay, now, one second. Let me take a look if we... All right. Let me see if there's anything I missed. One second. Okay. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Everybody good?
Aaron. Two brothers.
Well, Aaron Moshe, I can't hear you. Say again.
What's the problem with the two brothers?
We said that because, like, in other words, it's going to arouse, like, the we're afraid that you'll come to bathe with your brother-in-law, and that's the problem with the brother-in-law. So the two brothers really not a problem, but because of that, they extended it to two brothers.
That's what I thought.
What?
That's what I thought, yeah. I thought, Taka, that the two brothers is not a problem.
Right, and there was Misada just in Kavul they had the stringency. That's the case. So that's what the Gemara is all about. Okay. Yeah. All right, let's see further in the Gemara. All right, we're four lines above where it gets wide on Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. 51A, Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, four lines above where it gets wide. Okay. So the Gemara says, Ki ata Rabba Bar Bar Chana Achal Da Yitra. So when Rabba Bar Bar Chana came from Eretz Israel, he came, he ate Ayitra, which is, here, I have a picture for everybody, I hope. Let me see if I can do this. Let me see this. One minute. 1 second. Give me 1 minute.
You have the anatomy of an animal. You can ask.
Okay. Yeah. Is Shia here tonight or what?
Of course, he can teach it.
Okay.
Yes.
Shia, I'm glad you're here. It always comes up handy to have a veterinarian with Daf Yomi. Everybody see the picture? This is the best I could do with the picture. Let me see. How do I do? Oh, yeah, here. Where is the line? The annotation. Is that it? That's what I have to take, the annotation? All right. So if you see, if you remember, there are four stomachs in the which we had. So do you see can you see my cursor going over here or not?
Yes.
You have a plus on the left side. You see on the left, you have a plus. If you click it, it will become bigger. Not on the on the side, you have a ruler.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, I got it.
Down. Okay.
Okay. This, all right, this will make it a little bit bigger. All right, it should make it a little
bigger. Like you have a, you click on the plus sign. Oh,
okay.
Oh, much better now.
Okay. Okay. So here, you see this thing looks like a kidney. This is the cava. This is the maw or the abomasum, which is one of the stomachs of the ruminant. And you see here's this chalev over here and chalev here. Now let's just reflect. Again, the Torah doesn't permit us to eat chalev. And the chalev are those items that will be offered on the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash. It's somewhat counterintuitive. In other words, that which is prohibited to be eaten is gufa, that which we offer on the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash. So there's a question. So this chalev over here, everybody agrees is prohibited. This is the chalev da akshata. In other words, the Gemara takes it as like a bow. You see, it's like an archer's bow here. So this is the outer rim. The inner one is subject to machloket tanaim. So the Tana Rabbi Akiva holds that this is permissible to be eaten, and Tana Rabbi Shmuel holds this is not permissible to be eaten. So so in Eretz Israel they would follow Rabbi Akiva. And this chacham would come, and he was eating it. Okay, so I'm going to go back. Let me go back. Okay, so now let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Ki at Rabba Bar Bar Chana." When Rabba Bar Chana came, and remember Rabba Bar Chana that comes up in Bava Batra in Lo Yachpor. He has a lot of. Remember, I don't know if you've seen that. There's a book, "The Juggler and the King," about all these different stories. But he's the one who has all these stories. So he says, "Achal da Yitra." Ayitra is like means like the bowstring. That's the Ayitra. In other words, it's like a bow. And where the string is, that's the ayitra. So he says, "Ul gabe Rav Avira Sava Rav Breid Rav Huna." So these two chachamim came to. In other words, he came from Eretz Yisrael. They're in Babel. They came to visit him. Came into Chazinu Kasi Minayu. When he sees them coming, he covers it over so they shouldn't see that he's eating the ayitra. He says, "Atu va'amrulei." Now there's different versions here. So they came and they told Abaye, according to the version we have in the Gemara, some say they came and they told his father. In other words, they told, Rabba Bered, Ravir Saran, Rabba Bered, Rav Huna. So they told Abaye, I think some say La Vua. So the way I saw it is they told Rav Huna. It was Rabba Breid Rav Huna. But either way, they told Abaye. So Amar Luhu Shavinhu Kikutoi. He says he's like treating you like the Kutim. In other words, with the Kutim, here you're Noheg Easter with it, and he's Noheg Heter with it. But really, in other words, Mitzadadin, it's really Mutar is the way he holds. So he doesn't want to be matir. He doesn't want to do anything. In other words, to be matir, you can be matir verbally, or you can be matir with symbolic speech by doing an action. Like Rav Yosef said, eat the challah in their presence. So he didn't want to be matir. He didn't want to be matir. So the Brisa says with the kutim, you can't be matir. So he didn't want to do anything to like lead you to not do your stringency. So he's treating you as if you're kutim. That's the idea. So shavin kutoi. So the Gemara says on the first wide line, Rabba Baruch Hanan leitle hadidnan. Doesn't Rabba Baruch Hanan hold to that which we learned in the Mishnah? This is the Mishnah you had yesterday. So that we give a person the stringencies of the place that he came from and the stringency of the place that he goes to. In other words, remember, some places they don't do malacha on Erev Pesach before Chatzot. Some places do. But if you go from one place to another place, so you take the stringencies of the place that you left and the stringency of the place that you come to. So here, in Eretz Israel, they didn't have the Chumrah, but now he's coming to a place where they do the Chumrah. So how isn't he violating the din of the Mishnah? So this is Amar Abaye, Hani Mili Mi Babel LeBabel. Abaye says that halacha, which is in the Mishnah, is only when you're going from one location in Babel to another location in Babel. Ume Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael. Are you going from one location, Eretz Yisrael, to another location, Eretz Yisrael? Inami Babel, Eretz Yisrael. Are you going from Babel to Eretz Yisrael? In all those cases, it applies. Aval me Eretz Yisrael, Babel, lo. But if you're traveling from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, that halacha does not apply. He says, since we are subordinated to them, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, they have Rabbanim who are Musmachim, you know, that they have smicha going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't have it here. In Eretz Yisrael, they're Mekadesh the moon, Alpi Re'ia, and we don't have that here. In Eretz Yisrael, in other words, so we're kafuf to them. So he says, now we have Avdinan Kivatayhu, which would mean that we do like them. But if you look in Tosfos, second last Tosfos, Avdinan Kivatayhu, he says, Lo Avdi, and then you have to use the Hagor Bach, Lo Avdin, he says, Lo Avdi Kivatan. In other words, they don't do like the way we do. In other words, it's understood if they don't follow the way we do. In other words, we have to be kaf up to them. They're doing their own thing. See, Avdin and Kibatai would mean we do like they, but we don't do like them. So it doesn't mean literally. So it means Lo Avdi Kivatan. They don't do like we do. In other words, they have their own minhagim. He says Lo Avdi Kivatan Havale Lameimar. Still in Tosos. Umishum Parakama Dechulin Nakan Hachi. In other words, it's borrowing language from the first Parak in Chulin. The Kamar Hatam Kisalik Rib Zera. That when Reb Zera, I don't know if it means that he left Eretz Yisrael or he came to Eretz Yisrael. Kisalik is usually to leave Eretz Yisrael. Kisalik, wait. Lo salik adaite. Oh, no. He made aliyah. I made a mistake. Salik is to make aliyah. Yeah. Kisalik Reb Zera. Reb Zera made aliyah. Achal mugremet de Rabbi Shmuel. He ate that which would be hagrama. There's different ways of like doing the shechita. In other words, that's what Rav and Shmuel considered to be hagrama, which is psul shechita. He ate the meat that way. He said, "Uparich v'leit le'le Reb Zera notnim alav chumrei makom v'chulei." So, but doesn't he hold that you have to observe the stringency of the place he came from and the stringency of the place he go? He came from Babel, and Babel, Rav and Shmuel hold it is prohibited. So he says, "Mishani abaye hani mila v'chulei avam v'Babel the Eretz Yisrael." We're kaf up to them. We do like they do. So it's just borrowed language from there. But here he's saying, in other words, so if you're going from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, we do like they do in Eretz Yisrael. But here he's like somebody came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, so we don't do like they do. He does his own thing. Okay, so the basic idea, so we're saying, let me just summarize, then we'll take some questions. So Rabbi Barachana, he's eating this ayitra, which is something that the B'nai Babel treated as chelev, and B'nai Yisrael did not treat as chalev. And so the Gemara asks, how could he do that? The Mishnah says that if you leave a place that has that doesn't have a stringency, coming place with a stringency, you have to adopt the stringency. So the Gemara says that's only if you're going from one place to another place in Yisrael, or one place to another place in Babel, or you're going from Babel to Yisrael. But if somebody's coming from Yisrael to Babel, so it doesn't apply. Because since we're kafuf to them, we're subordinated to them, so they could do, their way. And you could say, again, there's going to be one svara is that we're concerned about machloket, like it'll lead to fighting and dissension. But if a person is coming from Eretz Yisrael, it won't lead to dissension because everybody understands we're kafuf to whatever they say in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, whose questions, comments to us, anything I did so far? Yeah, what's up? Let me hear Malka. So nice to see you, Malka. We missed you. We missed you for about a week, Malka.
Sorry, I know somebody is off this week.
What?
So the reason why they say that people, when you go to Israel, you don't have to keep 2 days.
It's coming up. Hang tight. At the end of today's stuff. You're in the sugya, though, Malka. You are in the sugya. All right, 1 minute, and we'll see whether you have to keep 2 days or not. Okay. No. All right.
Tenterhooks we are.
Yeah. All right, let me see. Okay, everybody good? All right.
What was the point of Abaye? What was he trying to say when he said he's treating you like a kuthi?
Yeah, in other words, he hid the fact that he was eating the ayitra. He didn't want you to see that he was eating ayitra. So remember, we learned the brisa before that if people have a stringency, you're not allowed to be matir the stringency in their presence, but that's only for the kutim. So he didn't want to be matir in your presence. He's treating you like the kutim. That's what he's saying. Okay? All right. Let's just refresh let's go over a few lines in the Mishnah from yesterday, and then we'll go a little further in the Gemara. Okay? Everybody, turn back to the Mishnah on Nun Amud Aleph 50a. Nun Amud Aleph. Let's just do the beginning with the second line of the Mishnah. Okay, everybody with me? So second line of the Mishnah, Nun Amud Aleph, 58. Okay, Haholech Mimakom Sheosin Lamakom Shein Osin. If a person goes from a place where they do malacha before Chatzot on Erev Pesach to a place where they don't do it, Lamakom Shein Osin Lamakom Sheosin, or vice versa, he goes from a place where they don't do it to a place that they do do it. He says, No Nimalav Chumri Makom Sheitzam Isham Chumri Makom Shalak Lasham. So he has the stringencies of the place that he left and the stringencies of the place that he went to. So if either one of those, don't do malacha, then he can't do malacha. Turn page. A person shouldn't deviate from the local custom because it's going to lead to machlokot, leave to machlokot. Okay, so we're going to tease out this lines of the Mishnah now in the Gemara, okay? Okay, now back to our Gemara, Nun Aleph and Mud Aleph. Everybody with me? Oh, I jumped the gun a little bit because we have a little bit more to do, but it'll still hold you in good stead. Okay, so on the fourth wide line, on Nun Aleph Hamad Aleph, 51a, the fourth wide line. So the Gemara says, Ravashi Amar, Afilu Tema Me Eretz Yisrael LeBavel. Ravashi says, you could even say that the rule that you have to do the Chumras applies when you go from Eretz Yisrael to Babel. But Hani Mila Hecha Dein Dato Lachzor. That's only if a person has no intention of going back to the place that he came from. In other words, so if there's a Kula, here's a Chumra, they have to do the Chumras, but it's only if he has no intention to go back. He says, "Rabba Bar Rakhana Dato Lazor Hava." He intended to go back to Eretz Yisrael, so he was within his rights to eat the Ayitra. All right, now, Amarli Rabba Bar Rakhana Libnei, or some say Librei. Rabba Bar Rakhana said to his son, "Bni Lo Tochal Lo Bafanai Velo Shlo Bafanai." Odeid, can you mute yourself, please, Odeid? Okay, so he says, "Please don't eat the Ayitra, not in my presence, and not in my presence, and either in my presence or without my presence." Now, the Meiri says later that presence means in my lifetime and not in my lifetime. In other words, don't eat, even though I eat the Ayitra, you should not eat the Ayitra. So he says, Anishra iti ed Rabbi Yochanan sha'achal, k'day Rabbi Yochanan l'smok ala b'fanav, shlo b'fanav. I saw Rabbi Yochanan, I was in Eretz Yisrael, so I saw Rabbi Yochanan as the gadol ador eating it, so I can eat it, b'fanav and shlo b'fanav. He says, Ata lo ra'ito to, you didn't see Rabbi Yochanan eat it. He says, and presumably you're living in a place now where nobody eats the Ayitra. He says, Lo tochal bein b'fanai, bein shlo b'fanai. So I don't think you should eat it. In other words, even though I eat it, but here the minhag is not to do it, but I'm going to follow what I saw in Eretz Yisrael, but you should be kafuf to the people in this place. That's what he said to his son. So the Gemara says, Upliga didei adidei. So Rabbi Bar Rakhana is contradicting his own self. Now the Gemara is going to have another incident where he relates a story where the person said a different psak halacha. He says, "The Amar Rabbi Bar Rakhana." Rabbi Rakhana said, "Sachli Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar." Now it's a couple of people here. He says that Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar said to me, "Pam achat nechtasi charib shim ben Rabbi Yosi ben Lakuni Lagina." So Rabbi Rakhana is relating that Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar said that once he had followed Rabbi Shim ben Rabbi Yosi ben Lakuni Lagina to a garden. Turn page. Nunav Hamubeis. He says, V'natal sfiche kruv v'achal. Now, there's a lot of machlokot showing him how to learn the sugya. We're going to learn it the way Rashi does in his preferred lashon. It's talking about the Rashi takes it in the first Rashi, b'shvi l'char zman abir, that he took cabbage that was a Shemitah year. So in the Shemitah year, you're not allowed to plant. You're not allowed to harvest in the normal fashion. And then they have these sfichim. Sfichim are like aftergrowths, things that are growing by themselves, things that, like seeds, spill to the ground and they just grow by themselves. So he took sfiche kruv, he took some of the aftergrowth of a cabbage, va'achal, and he ate it. Now it was after zman abiur. Now there's a point in time in the Shemitah year, I could take things that are growing, that grew in the Shemitah year, but then once it's no longer in the field, then I can't have it anymore. So there's a point in time, it was called the shat abir. The shat abir, then I have to disgorge it all. As Machlok Rishonim, exactly what I have to do. Some say I have to destroy it, or some say I have to be mafkir it. But this was after the shas habir. So he took some of this kruv, and he gave, and he ate from it, benatanli, and he gave me some. Ba'amarli, b'ni, he said to me, b'ni, b'fanai achol, shlo b'fanai lo tochal. You, in other words, the person he's quoting from is Reb Shimon ben Reb Yossi ben Lakunya. Reb Shimon ben Reb Yossi ben Lakunya. Reb Shimon ben Reb Yossi ben Lakunya said, "Bifanai achol," which the Meiri takes it during my lifetime. you can eat it. It means the svichim of the cabbage. Shlobafana lo tochal, after I'm dead, you can't eat it. He says, why? Anish ra'iti Reb Shimon Yochai sha'achal, because I saw the time Reb Shimon Yochai you ate it, kedai hu Reb Shimon Yochai l'smochalav, v'fanav, v'shlobafanav. So I can rely on it both during his lifetime and after his death. He says, at v'yatoh, v'fanai echol, shlobafanai lo tochal, but you should only eat it during my lifetime, not after I'm dead. So this is the stira. So here, Rabbi Bar Bar Chana said, I heard a certain kula from, or I saw a certain kula from Rabbi Yochanan, so I'm following that kula, but you, my son, should not follow it at all, whether it's my lifetime or not. And then he, though Rabbi Bar Chana related the story, and one person, another person, but the ultimate Tana, Reb Shimon, the ultimate source of it is Reb Shimon ben Reb Yossi ben Lakunya, who quotes has a kula concerning eating the svichim. We'll explain what the kula is concerning the svichim. So suffice it, it's going to come out that it's after the shot of beer. It's after the shot of beer, you can't eat things that have grown in the Shemitah year. So, but he held that the cabbage was an exception to the rule. And we'll see why the cabbage is going to be an exception to the rule. But most people didn't hold that the cabbage was an exception to the rule. He says, my Reb Shimon, what's this halacha Reb Shimon? Means Reb Shimon means Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. We've had this before. So he says, the Tani, we learn in the Braisa, he says, Reb Shimon Omer, kol asfichim asurim, that all svichim, all after growth is prohibited, the way Rashi learns, after shot of biur, after they're no longer in the fields anymore. Chutz misfichei kruv, except for the aftergrowth of the cabbage, he says, she'en kiyotze behen b'yerek hasadeh, because there's no other vegetable like it among the vegetation that grows in the field. So Rashi, in his second shot, explains that the kruv has like some root, and the root stays there the whole year, and the other ones need the new seeds each year. That's the way Rashi explains it. He says, v'chachamimo, so b'meila, it's really not a sviach. Sviach is you have a seed, the seed takes root, and then it grows. So it's really like not a sviach. So he holds it's excluded from the din of svichim. He says, "B'chachamim omrim kol asvichim asurim." The chachamim say no. It's one rule for all. The tervayu will leave the Rabbi Akiva. Both tzadim go within the sheet of the Tana Rabbi Akiva. The Tanya, because we learn in the Brisa, "Hein lo nizrav lo sofet tvuatenu." So the Torah says, if somebody says, "What are we going to eat in the seventh year? We haven't planted." So "Hein lo nizrav," we didn't plant. "Lo nesofet tvuatenu," we didn't harvest. So he says, "I'm Rabbi Akiva b'chayacharshein zorin mecha osin." Why would you think that you'd be anything to harvest? If you're not planting, there's no harvest. So he says, "Mikan l'sfichin shein asurin." So from here you see, according to the Tanna Rabbi Akiva, that sfichin, the aftergrowth, is prohibited. That's what would be the harvest, the things that grew by themselves. He says, "B'mai kemiflagi." So what's the point of dispute? Rabbanan savri gazrin sfichei kruv atu shar sfichei da'almam. The Chachamim hold, we have one rule for everything. In other words, it's true, the cabbage is in a different category. The cabbage grows constantly, and that's why he went to the garden and he had the cabbage. But the Chachamim hold, on a Drabanan level, we prohibit all svichim, because other svichim are prohibited. From here, from Rebbe Akiva, it sounds like they're prohibited on a Daraisa level. But the cabbage, we're going to prohibit on a Drabanan level, because it's not really a true svia, because its root is still there the whole year, and it keeps growing. But we're going to prohibit it. He says, Rabbi Shimon Savar, lo gazrin svichi kruva to svich adama. Rabbi Shimon holds, we don't have this gzera. So again, so Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi Yossi ben Lakunya, he held lenient way. He says, because he saw Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and he ate the svich of the kruv. So he's also eating the svich of the kruv. But he says to this other chacham, he says, you should only eat it during my lifetime. After my lifetime, don't eat it. But that's different than what Rabbi Bar Bar Chana said to his son. So that's the stira, and both of them are repeated by Rabbi Bar Bar Chana. All right, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Okay, so I'm moving on. Okay, now we're coming up to, I think it'll be, I'm sorry you're leaving, Michael, but this, I assume you're leaving, right? Michael, did you have to leave at 8:30? Yeah, well, you're going to miss the Yontif Sheni part, Michael. It's too bad, but that's your own choice.
We're going to rehash the Chacham Tzvi. We're going to talk about all the poskim who reject his Shita.
This is it. Michael knows everything. All right, let's take a look.
I don't know everything. And all those people who are making up rules that don't make sense anyway. But
I don't know what I don't know what you're speaking about. Okay.
Yeah, now, like day and a half. Or
All right.
Blah blah blah. Yeah.
Okay. Let's hear it for a minute. Okay. Now. All right. Now let me go back. All right. Let's take a look further in the Gemara. All right. Now, ha'olech b'makom mechulei. We said if you go from a place where there's a stringency to a place that there's no stringency, or a place that there's a stringency to the place that's no stringency, you have to do like the stringency. So the Gemara says, b'shleim ha'olech b'makom she'os l'makom she'en osim. If you went from a place where they did malacha on Erev Pesach before Chatzot to a place where they don't do it, so I understand that now you're subject to the stringencies. If you, now you went to a location, they don't do malach on Erev Pesach before Chatzot. So you shouldn't deviate from the you know, like when in Rome do as the Romans do. So you're going to have to conform with the place they don't do malacha today, and mamele you shouldn't do the malacha. But let's say the other way around. You went from a place where they didn't do malacha to a place where they do malacha. So a person shouldn't deviate. So you mean now he should do malacha? It was he migrates to a place where they do malacha on Erev Pesach before Chatzot. So he bedavka should do malacha now because al yishna adam ne'amach loket. But the other line of the Gemara says he has to have the stringency of the place that he came from and stringency of the way that he went to. So there's a stira between the lines in the Mishnah. On the one hand, the line of the Mishnah says you have to observe the stringencies of the place where you came from, but then it also says you shouldn't deviate because of the machloket. So how do you do it? Not to deviate means you do malacha, but if you do the stringency of the place that you came from, you can't do malacha. So Amar Abaye Aresha. So Abaye says this part about Ali Shanem Ibnei Machloket is talking about the first line. In other words, when you came from a place where they did malacha to a place where they don't do malacha, that's what it means. You shouldn't deviate and you have to bring yourself in conformity. But in Achinami, the other way, you'll be doing something different. He says, Rava Amar Li'olam HaSeifa. Rava says, no, that line, Ali Shana, applies to both scenarios. Even if you went to a place where they don't do malacha, or a place where they do malacha, there's a din of al yishana. He says, "V'hachi kamar, ein bezub neishinui hamachloket." That if you desist from malacha in a place where people do malacha, that won't create contention. In other words, it won't be a shinui that will create dissension. Why, Mike Amar? What would you say? Haro mir malacha asura, like you're going to say that a person seeing him will say, ah, he's doing it this way. Malacha is prohibited on Erev Pesach before Chatzot. Meimar Amri kama batlani have b'shukah. They'll say no. Lots of people are unemployed now, so he's not doing malacha. You know, he doesn't have work to do. You know, they won't lead to dissension. They'll say that, you know, he just doesn't have work. All right, now we're up to Malka. This is your sukkah, Malka, and Michael, your sukkah too. All right, we'll see now. Amalei Rav Safra the Rabbi Abba, kion anan diadina bekvi diarcha. Now, Tosfos says last Tosfos it says we who were expert bekvi diarcha. If you look at the bottom Tosfos, kion anan diadana bekvi diarcha, v'lo b'soda ibur kaamor. It doesn't mean like knowing about when the molad will be. Ta b'nei bavel bekvi beibur diarcha can read breish beitza, v'abdi trei yome, and l'farish rabbeinu tam shab b'makom shluchi beitin magin. So here it means they knew that the shluchim from Bezdin arrived there and they knew when Rosh Chodesh was. So the Bezdin is declaring Rosh Chodesh is, the shluchim are getting there. So it means in the locality that they came from, they only observe one day Yantav because the shluchim would arrive, would come from Bezdin. So he says, so we observe one day of Yantiv. He says, now turn page on the top line in Bezimun Aleph. B'yishuv lo avidna b'nei shinui hamachloket. So now we're in a place where they're observing 2 days Yantiv, but we know when Yantiv is. So we went to now a new place, and here they didn't know, the shluchim didn't arrive there, and they're observing 2 days Yantiv. So we So we're not b'yishuv lo avina. We're not going to do malacha b'yishuv in the settled area where the Jews are. He says b'mnei shinui machloket, because it's going to create dissension among the community. If we're doing malacha and they're not doing it, it's going to create a lot of problems. But midbar mai, what about in the midbar? Will we do malacha in the midbar? He says amar lei hachim arvami b'yishuv asur b'midbar mutar. In the midbar, you're allowed to do malacha. Rav Natan bar Asya. Oh, let me leave that. Now, let's see the Rashi, and then we'll see the Tosfos, and we'll talk for a few minutes. So the Rashi, B'yishav lo avidna, malachav yom tov sheni, hol v'nagav u'isur, lo ashnen le'enehem en aminag. I won't, you know, this is an important Rashi, I won't deviate in their presence, you know, from the minag. So that line in Rashi would seem to indicate that if you're doing something, b'tzina would be permissible, right? In other words, the application is going to be if somebody's coming from Eretz Israel to New York, and now they're here when they're been Eretz Israel, they're here in Chutz La'aretz, and now it's the second day of Yontiv. So what malachot are, if any, are they allowed to do, and where are they allowed to do it? So from the Rashi says, Lo eshna le'enehem et aminag. I won't, in their presence, I won't do it. Sounds like if I wouldn't be in their presence, I would do it. But if you look at Tosfos says, B'yishuv lo avdinan, filu b'tzina, even in the privacy of one's home, I won't do malacha, Tosho says. But filu da'ato lachzor, even if his intent is to go back to Eretz Yisrael, he says, d'lo efshar l'malacha b'tzina k'mo shar dvarim. Because you can't do malacha b'tzina. In other words, like everybody's going to know. Okay, now, needless to say, there's a lot of different shita with everything with this. We'll just get some things out. We'll talk some things out, and we'll do the best we can, and that'll be it. Okay, now, so... All right, so so this is from the Yal HaDaf. So the Tosos and the Rashi we did already. The Bala Mawar takes, so he says, thus, although we learned above that one is permitted to follow the lenient custom of his hometown in private, Malacha is an exception. Meaning, when it comes to other minhagim, let's say it would be Chadash. Let's say I'm coming to a place, I'm Mekil in Chadash. In this place, everybody's Machmir, nobody eats Chadash. So if I eat the Chadash in my home, so nobody knows anything. It's Shtiller Hayd. Or let's say, there could be some other Chumra or things like that. Or leniency. I'm doing the leniency. So he says here, though, so Tosfos says that Malacha is different. Malacha, everybody knows about it. So thus, although we learned above that one is permitted to follow lenient custom of his hometown in private, Malacha is an exception. The Bala Mawar takes a different approach. She explains that the minag followed in Chutz La'aretz, observed 2 days of Yontiv, has more force than an ordinary minag, since it's so widespread and is practiced by all people living in Chutz La'aretz. In other words, Bala Mawar wants to say, in other words, he's saying some things I could do in the privacy of my home. Generally, I could do leniencies in the privacy of my home if I'm going to a place that has different minag. But by malacha, they're explaining the sheet of the Bali Tosfot, which is the one we hold la halacha. Either malacha is totally different, or he wants to say the minag of doing 2 days in Chutz La'aretz isn't like here they do it, here they don't do it, here they do it. Everybody does 2 days in Chutz La'aretz. Therefore, the obligation to observe 2 days of Yontiv is binding on a visitor from Eretz Yisrael, even in private. So they have now the post can bring down that there are. Some coolers, let's say a person comes from Eretz Israel and they're here for the second day Yontiv. So they should dress the Yontiv Dik. In other words, if they're going out, they should dress Yontiv Dik. In their private tefillah, they'll say like a weekday davening, and they'll put tefillin on in the privacy of their home. Now, in the privacy of the home, though, they could do things that are not muhrach that they're violating Yontiv. Like, let's say there's a hammer. So they could lift up a hammer and carry it from one end of the room to another, because even somebody who's observing Yontiv could move a hammer because of Sarakufa Makomo. So they don't need it Sarakufa Makomo, but in other words, it's not Mukrach if they're moving a hammer, that it's because they're not following the dinim of Yontiv. In other words, if I'm looking through the window and I see them moving a hammer, I could think they're moving the hammer, they need Sarakufa Makomo, but they need something else. Or let's say it's Friday and they're cooking on Friday. Of Yontiv. In other words, let's say Friday's the Yontiv and they're cooking, so they could cook even though they didn't have an Erev Tavshilin, they could cook, because somebody, in other words, if I look at somebody, I would think he has an Erev Tavshilin. So they don't have an Erev Tavshilin because they're like B'nai Eretz Yisrael. But the if it's the second day of Yom Tov on a Friday, but that's also something that's just permissible.
But doesn't the Rav make it for the city anyway?
The Rav makes it for anybody who forgot to do it, but let's say they knew about it and decided not to do it, then the Rav's not doing it for them. Anyway, so but otherwise they should be in full conformity with the dinim of Shabbos and Yom Tov and not do anything that, you know, openly indicates that they're not observing Yom Tov, and they should dress like Yom Tov dress when they come out. Now,
this is only if they're not planning on going. If they're planning on going back, right? If they're not planning
right,
on going
if
back,
not planning Israel, on going back, right? Then it's history, right? Then it's history. Okay. Now Michael had mentioned the Chacham Tzvi, and now's the time for the Chacham Tzvi. Now, the Chacham Tzvi uses a similar argument in the reverse case of a resident of Chutz La'aretz who visits Eretz Yisrael. He argues that since every community in Eretz Yisrael is required to observe only one day Yom Tov, when it comes from Chutz La'aretz, it's not bound by the custom of his hometown. The observance of 2 days Yom Tov is not a custom which could be instituted in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, the Chacham Tzvi is saying, it's not like, you know, some people do this way, some people do the other way. So I'm in a location where they're doing one way, I'm going to create dissension or something like that. He said, nobody in Eretz Yisrael does 2 days Yom Tov. So that being the case, the Chacham Tzvi wants to say that I could just observe one day like the people do in Eretz Yisrael. He rules that in this case, the general rule requiring one to follow the stringent custom of his hometown does not apply, and the visitor is permitted to perform malacha on the second day of Yom Tov. Now, let me just mention, the Chacham Tzvi was a real Shitas Yachid. In other words, he was a gadol ador, but he was a real Shitas Yachid. To the way I see it, it's just like in recent years, it gained so much currency, people now are saying, oh, Chacham Tzvi, Chacham Tzvi. But generally speaking, that's not the way the poskim bring down. So he says, the Mishnah Berurah rules, contrary to the Chacham Tzvi, that a resident of Chutz La'aretz who visits Eretz Yisrael must observe 2 days of Yom Tov. However, to avoid machloket, he may not daven his Yom Tov prayers in public, so as not to publicly demonstrate observing Yom Tov. So now, let's say I'm in Eretz Yisrael and I'm observing 2 days Yom Tov. So it's a little tricky. Where do I daven? Let's say I'm doing 2 days Yom Tov, so I'm going to daven Yom Tov davening. So some poskim say that I can get together with 10 other people from Chutz La'aretz and have a minyan. But even there, they say like it shouldn't be like so public. Like it should be like in a side room in the shul. I shouldn't be in the main shul. But you know that's the thrust of it. Okay. Now there's another opinion which Odeh didn't seem to like. It's called a day and a half, but it's sort of like you split the difference between the two. Not split the difference, but means you hedge your bets. In other words, you won't do any of the malachot on the second day of Yom Tov because you don't want to do that. But on the other hand, you will let's say put on tefillin and you will let's say daven like the weekday type of davening. So that's sort of like sort of nishtahe and nishtaher, you know, like a little bit of both. All right. What?
I just want to, you know, I have the Chachal Shei, the Tshuvat Chacham Tzvi in front of me. But, you know, like you said, Miyamim, Yamim, it was there, Miyamim, Yamim, and Chabad. You know, I know Rav Kook is just a small rabbi, but
no.
Rav Kook and Chabad always kept Shitat Chacham Tzvi. And Chabad always, when they came to Israel, kept one day. And when they come here to United States or to wherever, Chutz La'aretz, they always kept 2 days.
Right.
That's not why. Because when I was in Israel, I keep 2 days and a Chabad pulled the elevator. If you, according to Chabad, if you
no,
you're
they follow
waiting,
Kishitat Chacham Tzvi.
Let's hear what Malka
Chabad,
says.
Your home is where your wife is. So if your wife is in Israel, your home is in Israel, and therefore you keep 1 day. And you should know that the Grand Synagogue actually has second day Yom Tov Filah.
Wait, which synagogue?
The Grand Synagogue.
The
what is
synagogue.
It called?
The Great Synagogue.
All right.
Anyway,
the
but
you're one city, so you can do it. Okay, does the Chacham Tzvi say you could do malacha in public?
Yeah, in other words, the Chacham Tzvi says if a person's coming from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, he should comport himself just like the regular people in Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Chacham Tzvi
says. He says, "Rechivan she'Eretz Yisrael isur lo'osif yom alef al mitzvot, ve'en b'yad anshei Eretz Yisrael lo'osif yom alef yoter me'akatuv b'Torah u'lachmir af al abayim mi'chutz la'aretz." אסורים הם לנהוג שני ימי טובים של גליות כל זמן שהם בארץ ישראל, אפילו דרך הרעי, כיוון שהמקום גורם, ואין זה בכלל חומרי מקום שיצא משם. That's directly from the Chacham Tzvi.
All right. Okay, and again, you're right about the Balatanya did hold the way the same way. The all right, so I think that's it for tonight. Nice seeing everybody. Unless any questions, comments, or thoughts.
Sam, one more time. Chacham Tzvi says that if someone's coming from Eretz Yisrael to America, he would say keep one day and do malacha publicly the other day.
No.
Two days here and one day in Eretz Yisrael.
No. The Chacham Tzvi says if you come from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. The reverse case, that's the where he has his akula. He says, if I'm coming from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, there he says that I could just keep one day. I don't know what he holds if you're coming from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz.
Okay.
But there the Sfarad wouldn't pertain. I assume that he would say you have to keep 2 days. But okay, so the... I don't know what he holds if you come from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, but that I don't know. Okay, any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, let me stop the recording.